We are in Sivo Shalom on Parshat Bo, page Ayin Gimel, Nite Yadcha LaShemayim Vayihi Choshech. So the Tivot Shalom B'Tzamin says, Vayomer Hashem El Moshe, quotes the Pasuk from the Parsha, Hashem says to Moshe, Nite Yadcha LaShemayim, raise your hand up to the heavens, Vayihi Choshech Al Eretz Mitzrayim, and there will be darkness that descends on Eretz Mitzrayim. Ita Bamidrash, it says in the Medrash, where did this choshech come from? Where did this darkness come from that descended upon Mitzrayim in the plague of darkness? Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Michoshech Shel Mala, that it's this somehow this darkness from up above, this choshech shel mala. Shene'emar, as it says in Tehillim, Yashit Choshech Sitro Sivotav Sechato, that this darkness somehow encompasses or surrounds HaKadosh Baruch Hu in some way based on this pasuk in Tehillim. So according to the Midrash, it's somehow this darkness that descends is the darkness from on high. What does that mean? Perush HaSheela Mehechan Haya Choshech Ahu, explaining just the question itself, what does it mean, where was this darkness from? Dechoshech ze kimuva b'mefarshim haya mitziut atzmit shel choshech v'lo rak he'edar or. The reason why the Chazal are asking this question in the first place, meaning where did this darkness come from? The answer is it's darkness. What kind of question is that? Is because this wasn't a normal darkness. This was a reality of darkness that it was a tangible reality of darkness that wasn't just a lack of light. And this is what the Medrash is asking. Where did this darkness, this unusual, this unnatural darkness, that was again a physical, tangible darkness, not just a lack of light, where did it come from? The answer is this darkness from up above. Hainu she'HaKadosh Baruch Hu tzivat Moshe, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe she'yamshich al Mitzrayim et HaChoshech shel Mala, that Moshe Rabbeinu should draw down this darkness from up above to draw it down into Mitzrayim. Ve'lechora eino muvan ma'o choshech shel Mala. That's great. That explains why we ask the question. That even explains the answer in a certain sense. But at the end of the day, what is choshech shel Mala? What is darkness from up above? Hari lemala hakol or. On a spiritual level, the higher up you go, the closer you get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything's light. We talk about how at the end of days, we're going to see the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's face. We're always looking for the Or HaGanuz in this world. Meaning, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything should be light. What is the concept of darkness from above? Everything is light up above. And if there is, he's asking here, it's a very deep question. And if there is up above a concept of Choshech of Kedusha. If up above there is this concept of a darkness of Kedusha, a holy darkness, well then we have a bigger question. The Mezachor Mitzim Shem Shichu Choshech Ze Aleihem. Meaning, what was Moshe bringing it down for? He was bringing down the Choshech to punish Mitzrayim. But what would Mitzrayim have done to be Zochet to a darkness of Kedusha? So either way, we're stuck. Either there's no darkness up above, in which case, what is Moshe drawing down? Or if Moshe is drawing down a darkness from up above, and this choshech is somehow some heavenly choshech, what does Mitzrayim deserve a heavenly choshech for? How do we understand it? And in terms of the Lashon, again, we loosely translate it as raise up your hand towards the heavens. But really it says, the Tolda HaKavoset Yosef asks, which literally means lift your hand towards the heavens. Ki mashmaut nate hi ki'ilu Moshe ala shamayim umitzaveu HaKadosh Baruch Hu shinate yadu aleihem. Meaning, it seems to imply nate, the way that the word is normally used is when you're above something and you're extending your hand above it. So what does it mean using this lashon, not of raising your hand, the normal way of saying raising your hand towards shamayim, but why is it using a lashon, why is it using a wording of Moshe Rabbeinu, so to speak, extending his hand above the heavens? What does that mean? How do we understand it? So let's get into it. We understand the question? We feel the question?
Yeah.
Thank you. Excellent. Dope. Okay, so let's keep going. Thank you, Ayala. Over Toldo Yaakov Yosef, the Toldo Yaakov Yosef says, Toldo Yaakov Yosef, one of the main Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, Mevaer ha'inyan al derech ha'avodah. So the Nitzivot Shalom always likes to link into, he says al derech ha'avodah. What does it mean in terms of our avodas Hashem? She'HaKadosh Baruch Hu tziva le'Moshe, nateyat yadcha la'shamayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Moshe to extend his hand out over the heavens. What does that mean? Hainu, sheyitromem lemadrega elyona ugvoha, kidei sheyorid mehashamayim lemata, devarim ruchaniim shemikomam ala shamayim. That it means that he should raise himself up so high that there should be able to come down from Shemayim such spiritual things that they're above the heavens. Meaning Moshe Rabbeinu's got to reach really high, really deep, to bring down something that's so far beyond. And based on this, there's darkness in Eretz Mitzrayim. She said, Gufa yiyeh, hachoshech hagadol biyoter l'mitzrayim. That itself is the greatest darkness for Eretz Mitzrayim. What does he mean? Kilu, he's drawing down such deep spiritual things that Moshe Rabbeinu is being told to reach up and to extend so deep into Shemayim. He's dragging down the deepest spirituality. The experience of Ruchnius, the intense experience of that Ruchnius, of that spirituality, that in and of itself, that was darkness for Mitzrayim. Feeling that Ruchnius, feeling that spirituality, that in and of itself, says the Nesivos Shalom, quoting the Tzolot of Yaakov Yosef, that was a reality, an experience of darkness for Mitzrayim. Dinei, kishe michnachnisim rasha legan Eden, makom shetzadikim yoshvim v'atiroteim v'roshehem, v'ne'anim miziv ha'shchina. Because if you were to take a rasha, and you were to bring a rasha into Gan Eden, the place where the tzadikim are sitting, and there are crowns on their heads, and they're enjoying the radiance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. Avuro ze'achoshech v'yisrim ha'kashe biyoter limatzev makom kazeh. That's the greatest pain that the Rasha could have. Schlepping a Rasha, dragging a Rasha into Gan Eden, for the Rasha to experience the sublime light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and of truth, that's pain for the Rasha. That his whole life he never got himself used to the spiritual light. He spent his whole life running after physicality. It's an incredibly deep thing. I don't remember if we talked about this in Derech Hashem or Nesivos Shalom last week. We talked about the dimmer, right? Did we talk about the dimmer last week? Yeah. But just to reiterate, again, that's the concept here. Meaning, when we go to Gan Eden, we go to Olam Haba, we get to be in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the beautiful thing that he's bringing out here is that for all of us, the good, the bad, and the ones in between, when we go to Gan Eden, we go to Olam Haba, we're all just, the veil is being lifted. We're going and seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My Rebbe points this out, Rav Amos, he notes this in a few different places when he talks, that when we say to go to Olam Haba, we have almost this image in our head that like our soul flies out of our body and goes somewhere else. He quotes from the Zohar that really all that's happening is that we stay where we are, but the veil gets lifted. The sheker of Olam Hazeh gets lifted. But we don't actually go anywhere. We just see reality as it truly is. That's the whole thing. That's the whole movement to Olam Haba, is the seeing with clarity, is seeing with emes. And so we have two choices. In this world, we can spend our lives working on ourselves, to see the world as it truly is, to see the MS underneath the veil of the world, to see the light within the darkness of this world, to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu within this world. We can work to see that. And if we do, we go to Olam Haba, we're just seeing that same light. How do we see that? By learning Torah. When we learn Torah, it's not only bringing light to us. Torah, Milashon Hora'at, it's an incredible thing. What the Torah is really doing, the Torah is transforming our perspective. We see the world from a subjective perspective. We see the world from a subjective standpoint. When I'm born, the way that I look at the world, I grow up and I have my own experiences and I see the world a certain way. But I see the world based on how I think, based on what I've heard, based on what I've experienced. That's entirely and completely subjective. And it's not a judgment. Every single one of us views the world necessarily, by default, from our subjective perspective. Torah offers us something incredible. What Torah offers us is, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, if you learn Torah, if you take the advice of the Torah, if you take on the perspective of Torah, if you put on the lenses of Torah and see the world through the glasses of Torah, then you can see the world not from your subjective perspective. You can actually see the world in objective truth. anything that anyone has ever written by definition is subjective. The only objective document that we have is this. Is Chumash, is Torah, is Tanakh, is Torah Sheba'al Peh. The Torah, Begadol, Torah is the only objective truth that we have. That's it. And if we take that in, if we make that a part of ourselves, then what we're able to do is see the world clearly. And when we go into Gan Eden, then we end up moving into that true perspective. Then we're just seeing the truth that we found the whole time. We spent our whole life learning how to see things in truth, and now we're seeing the truth that we seeked out the entire time we were here. What happens to a Rasha? What happens to a Rasha? A Rasha, when he dies, so the same veil gets lifted. But he sees the truth that he chose to ignore his entire life. Can you imagine how painful that is? That's the pain of Olam Haba for the Rasha. Is that the Rasha is faced, without any way to run away this time, faced with the truth of the deep failure of Olam Hazeh. That every opportunity was afforded to go forward and to connect to Emes, to connect to Ruchnius, to connect to Torah, to connect to spirituality, to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to have Dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And faced with the reality of a wasted life, that I spent, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me a gift called life, and I wasted every moment denying the opportunity to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to see and to live truth. That same reality of Olam Haba is Gehenna for a Rasha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not striking out at anybody. We decide our fate. We as human beings, we'll talk about this in Derech Hashem, it's the centerpiece of humanity in this world. We're built with Bechirah Chofshit. We're built with freedom of choice. That's what defines us. It's what makes us different than all other creations in Olam Hazeh, is that we have Bechirah Chofshit. I can, and my Rebbe says this, he says it like this, it's harsh, but it's the way it is. I can make my life, or I can break my life. I can make my Olam Haba, or I can break my Olam Haba. But it totally comes down to my choices. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will continuously, b'ashkacha pratit, put before me opportunities to choose, but the choices themselves are up to me. And I can't say, well, I didn't have any good... No, HaKadosh Baruch Hu continuously gives the opportunity to choose better. He puts the choice before you. But we have to choose good. We have to choose Torah. We have to choose Avodas Hashem. And it's not simple. That's choosing real life. That's why the last command of Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah. And you think about it, in a simple level, it sounds crazy. I'll get to you, Sarah, in a second. In a simple level, it sounds crazy that Moshe Rabbeinu, the last thing that he tells the Jewish people, basically, is he turns around to them and he begs them, today I'm putting before you life and good and death and ra. And he screams out, he begs the Jewish people, ubacharta bachayim, choose life. And you think to yourself, at the end of the Torah, that's the last message of Moshe Rabbeinu? Choose life? Obviously choose life. He says, no. Don't choose to be alive. That's obvious. Choose to live your life. Choose to choose life while you're still alive. Don't just go on to Olam Haba and see what real life is and realize that you missed out on it. Choosing life, choosing to live life for real, that's not a simple choice. That's not an easy choice. It's the battle with the Yitzhahara every day. But know that every day that we win, every day that we go and we show up to shir, every day that we do a chesed, every day that we say a bracha, every day that a teacher's out, we show up to Zoom even though it's the worst learning on Zoom, every day we make the choice, we're choosing life. And through that, regulating ourselves, acclimating ourselves to Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh. That's the reality of what we're doing. That's the depth of what he's saying here. It's a beautiful thing what he's pointing out here. Did you have a question, or was somebody else pressing the button, Sarah? Did you have a question? No? Okay. So let's keep going forward. DNA, we're five lines from the bottom after the period. DNA, We read this before. Let's read it again. When you bring a rush to the Gan Eden, they're sitting there with their crowns on their heads, and they're enjoying the radiance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the worst thing that a person can experience. That to realize, to understand, to internalize, that their whole life, they didn't acclimate themselves to spiritual light, and they only ran after their physicality all their whole life. That's the biggest pain, to realize that you wasted your life. That you were never truly alive. Kach tziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu shiyamshicha ta'or alav. This is what God commanded Moshe, to draw down this heavenly light onto him. Top of the next column. To draw down this heavenly light onto him. She'ein lecha choshech gadol mimenu l'mitzrayim. There was no greater choshech for Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, that the whole reality of Mitzrayim is arayos. Is instant physical gratification, never thinking about the future. We've talked about this in Seder Vav, we talked about this in the other WhatsApp chat, that their whole reality is about focusing on the physicality of the moment and bringing down a deeper truth that really this life is meant to be lived for a purpose and a goal that transcends this world, that transcends physicality, that life is meant to be lived for a spiritual purpose, for a spiritual life. When that spiritual light hits you, not you, hits you as a purely physical being, you don't recover from that. That's Gehenna. That's the reality of Gehenna. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is drawing down. He's bringing down the light of the Or of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to show it to the Egyptians. When they see that light, for them it's pain. Because it reveals to them the sheker of their lives. That's what he's bringing out. Top of the next column. He brings on this, the pasuk which says, "Vayelchu shloshet yamim b'mibar v'lo matzu mayim." In next week's parshat Bishalach, it says that they walked for 3 days after Matan Torah. They walked 3 days after Kriyas Yamsuf. In parshat Bishalach, 3 days after Kriyas Yamsuf, they walked 3 days after Kriyas Yamsuf in the desert, and they didn't find any water. There was no water. V'amru Chazal al zem. Chazal say, "Ein mayim ela Torah." They walked for 3 days without water. What does it mean? They went for 3 days without learning Torah. Shelchlu shloshet yamim bibli lilmod Torah. 3 days after Kriyas Yamsuf, for 3 days after Kriyas Yamsuf, they walked and they didn't learn Torah. Ugetotza'a miza mikach. And what came out of this was, vayavo marata. They came to Mara. It's not just the name of a place. Everything in Torah is meaningful. Maze mara, milashon mar. They came to bitterness. They came to a place of bitterness. And they were unable to drink the water in Mara because it was bitter. What does that mean? Because for just 3 days they didn't learn Torah. Already the Torah started to taste bitter to them. I'm not calling anybody out. Definitely not this year. I want you to think about for a second, the first time after all of the segers and all of the bidudes and all of the endless amounts of things that kept you Baruch Hashem and in difficulty, but Baruch Hashem in seminary. Think of the first time you went out for a few days. And if you, again, no hands, I don't need confessions here. I'm just saying to think about it if this happened to you. Think about if you went out for the first time and you were like, I just need a break, I need to get out. And you went out for 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, and you wanted to open a sefer, but you didn't. I would put good money, and on a teacher's salary I don't have, so it's fine. But I would put good money on the fact that when you came back, the first day back in seminary was not like you remembered it. It wasn't as sweet as you remembered it. Why is that? You go a few days without Torah? The Torah starts to feel bitter. It starts to taste bitter. That's what's being brought out here. V'kol shekein. I mean, again, it's not a judgment. I'm not judging anybody who's doing such a thing. I'm simply noting the fact that as individuals who are at the beginning of your learning journey, you might have recognized that. Again, people who are listening in. So you may have experienced that on summer break. You may have experienced that. You may have experienced that, between first semester and second semester of college. You may experience that the first time you leave a Jewish college or a JLIC and you go off to work and you don't find the time to learn. Whatever the case may be, when you don't learn for a few days, you come back and it's harder to get into. It's part of the nature of Torah. When you become distant from it, you become distant from that light, it's harder to get back into it. On the flip side, by the way, when you then go and get back into it, when you do push forward a few days and re-regulate yourself to that light, then it's back to Gan Eden again. 1, 2, 3 days back in seminary. 1, 2, 3 days back in the Beit Midrash. 1, 2, 3 days back in Seder and Shul before you go to work. You start to feel the sweetness again. You start to see the light again. And he's saying here, he goes on and says, V'kol shekein mishalohu gal b'torah mi'amav, kal v'chomer, a person who didn't make a connection with Torah their entire life. Sha'torah v'chol ha'mitzvot ma'asim tovim marim lo, that Torah and ma'asim tovim and mitzvot, they're all bitter to such a person. Ve'in lo choshek adol mitzvot, there's no greater darkness in life than that. It's such a depressing life. It's so sad. It's so sad a person who has no connection to Torah. It's so sad a person who has no connection to Ruchnius. It's so sad a person who doesn't have any connection to anything beyond. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a gift that we can touch the infinite, that we can touch the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we can see with that clarity, that we can see with objectivity, that we can live Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, and Olam Hazeh. To not be able to touch that, to live a life without that, it hurts. It's painful. There's no greater darkness than that. Ukemoshe katuva Rambam, as the Rambam says in Perek Bet in Hilchot Deot, Shekemoshe chole haguf toamim hamar matok umatok mar, kach chole nafashot mitavim veoavim hadeot haraot visonim haderech hatova. It's beautiful what he says. He says, just like somebody who has a sickness, who physically is ill, that which is bitter can taste sweet. And that which normally tastes sweet to them can taste bitter to them. Or I guess in our case, people who used to be able to taste can't taste at all, right? Meaning that when a person gets sick, right? That the way that they taste things, that which is sweet is no longer sweet. He says, so too, somebody whose soul is sick. Somebody who has a sickness of the soul. And has taivas. And has negative desires. And hate, then for them, they think that which is bad in this world is good and that which is good in this world is bad. That's a spiritual sickness, says the Rambam. V'chein Yishayahu omer ba'anashim alalu, Yishayahu says about such people, Havei omrim l'ra tov l'tov ra, Shamayim choshech l'or, v'or l'choshech samim mar, l'matok matok l'mar. He says, Yishayahu says, that these people, they call ra tov, and they call tov ra. Samim choshech leor, they call light darkness, veor lechoshech, and darkness light. Samim lar matok umatok lemar, they call sweet, bitter, and bitter sweet. Meaning people who are spiritually messed up, they're running after the wrong things because they're spiritually diseased and that's their experience of it. But they're seeing the whole world upside down. They're seeing the whole world upside down. You know, it's an amazing thing. There's a Gemara. I like to quote this Gemara. I usually quote it a few times a year. I have to look up where it's from. I can't remember where it's from. It's an amazing, amazing Gemara. That one of the Tananim or Amoraim, he goes up to Shamayim. Right? He just goes up to Shamayim. He comes back down. And one of the other Tananim or Amoraim says to him, he says, Nu, what did you see? Incredibly powerful line. You spend your whole life thinking about this line. He comes back and he says, this is all he says. Olam hafuch ra'iti. I saw an upside down world. That's it. Olam hafuch ra'iti. I saw an upside down world. What's the meaning of that? What's the meaning of that? Think about this. It's a cute idea, but it's not a cute idea. It's such a deep idea. This whole, what's the Torah doing? The goal of Torah is to make us see clearly. The goal of Torah is to turn us upside down so we're standing on our heads. That's the goal of Torah. Because when we get to Olam Haba, then we'll be the only people standing on our feet. Think about that for a second. The goal of Torah is to turn us upside down on our heads in Olam Hazeh, so that when we get to Olam Haba, we'll realize that they were really standing on our feet. It's 180 degrees. Torah is teaching us to go against what we think in this world. Everything we think in this world is upside down. Everything we think in this world is wrong. And Torah says, turn it on its head. Turn it on its head. There's an incredible psychological study. I learned about this when I was in college. I assume it's still true if there's another study that came to contradict it. So this is what I learned in college. But it's an incredible thing. There was a scientist, a psychologist, who was crazy enough to do this. So the way the eyes work is actually pretty wild. And it emphasizes this point. It's incredible how it reflects itself in physics. Okay, stick with me for a second, even though I just said the word physics. Stick with me for a second, okay? So what happens, it's not even physics, biology really. So what happens is that when I see things, I actually, the way that our eyes work, we see things upside down. But our brain knows that we're seeing it upside down, so what does our brain do? Our brain flips the image. So really, we're seeing the world upside down, but our brain adjusts and flips it around. And so what he did was, on a physical level, he wanted to test this out. He created these glasses, which turn things upside down. And he wore them all day, every day. And after a few days, his brain adjusted. And even though the image was being flipped and he was being shown the world upside down, his brain adjusted, and it looked to him as being right side up. It's a very dangerous thing to do, because then what he did was he took off the glasses, and when he looked at the world, he saw the world upside down, and it took his brain a few days to readjust and then flip it back around again. But it's an amazing thing. We see the world upside down. Our brain lies to us and flips it. And that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu showing us on a biological, psychological level that the world is really the opposite of what we see, and our eyes are lying to us, our eyes are tricking us. And the goal that we need to do in this world is to turn it around. And what this scientist proved on a physical level, reflecting a spiritual truth, is that if I work hard enough, I can flip the image, I can see the world upside down, I can create that reality. If I train myself that way long enough, then I can see upside down, right side up, and upside up, and right side up, upside down. I can flip the image. That's what he's saying here. That a Rasha looks at the world and they see Ra, they think it's Tov. They see darkness, they think it's light. They see bitter, they think it's sweet. They think we're crazy. Who wouldn't want to go and party? Who wouldn't want to go and engage in the pleasures of the physical world? Who wants to dedicate their life to learning ancient texts in biblical Hebrew and Aramaic? What kind of crazy? The answer is yeah, we're crazy. We're upside down. We're not upside down. We're just the first people to get right side up. We're the first people to see light. We're the first people to taste sweetness. And we know that. We feel that. Anybody who's gotten into Shana Aleph at this point, anybody who's still learning long after Shana Aleph, Shana Bet, who's learning after Kala, anybody who's still learning and still doing Torah Mitzvah and living a from life and connected to Torah, understands when they're putting in that work and that effort, we understand we're doing this because we feel that sweetness. We feel that emes. And you can't explain that to somebody who doesn't want it. But this is real. This is real. Everything else, olam hafuch ra'iti. It's just an upside down world. It's all a trick of the eye. It's all an optical illusion. We say in the tefillah on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it's an incredible line. We say in the tefillah in the Shemona Esrei Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that in Olam Haba, hear the words, that Kol HaRisha Kula Ka'ashan Tichle. I once heard, it's emblazoned in my mind, I once heard one of the Gedolei Hador of Yaakov Katzschlita, I once heard him talk about this as part of his drasha before Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur, and it changed my life. What I'm saying is not going to change. Hearing him say it changed my life. If you heard the way he said it, Erev Ne'ilah, it changed your life, but this is a little bit of what he was talking about. He talked about Kol HaRisha Kula Kashan Tichle. He says, when you get to Olam Haba, it's not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to get rid of the Ra. It's the revelation. Kol HaRisha Kula Kashan Tichle means that all Ra, all evil in Olam Haba, Kashan Tichle, it's going to disappear in a puff of smoke. We're going to see that it was all an illusion. It was all a trick. It was all a magic trick the entire time. It was Kashan. It's just smoke and mirrors. All this Ra, we all thought it was so great. It was Ra, it was evil, and it was bad, and it was all just smoke and mirrors. That's what we're going to see in Olam Haba. Poof, gone. And we just see Emes. And if we spent our lives running after the smoke, we're going to feel the fire. If we spent our whole life seeing the Emes, we're going to keep taking in the light. That's what's being brought out here. So, continuing on. Uke'ein zeh. First one is Zeh. Uke'ein zeh. Piresh Maran Adonenu Moreinu Varabenu Vet Avram Zagotenu Lila Pasuk. The Slonim Rebbe says on the Pasuk in Mishle, Nefesh Sav'a Tavosh Nofet V'Nefesh Re'eva Komar Matok. Means one more time. He says here, Nefesh Sve'a Tavus Nofet V'Nefesh Re'eva Komar Matok. He says here, the sated soul will trample on a sweet honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, all bitter is sweet. So what does that mean? How is he understanding that? Nefesh Sve'a. He understands a little bit differently. It means to a soul that is sated, a soul that's full. To a soul that's full. Meaning, Sabeinu mituvecha, that's full from a Kadosh Baruch Hu's tov, who sava mehargashata ta'anug shel az yinegel Hashem. The person who's sated, who's filled up with the light of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what there's, I'm full, my whole life is filled, meaning filled with meaning. My whole being is full, because not because I filled my belly, I filled my soul with light, I filled my life with Torah, Avodah, and Dvikus with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning that for that person, the enjoyment of Olam Hazeh, it's nothing. Who wants that? It's nothing. It's just pulling me away from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Tavos Nofet. That person, they see something sweet. They see something as sweet as something in this world that's physically as sweet as honey. I'm not interested. I don't care. It's only going to pull me away from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Nofet hu dvash bigmatria isha. Meaning he brings out here, talking to
the men, Kilu in this pasuk, that Nofet is dvash, is honey. And he says, honey in Gematria is isha, meaning a person who runs after the sweet physicality in this world, like a man who runs after women, like or anybody who runs after Arayos is what he's bringing out. A person who runs after the Arayos in this world, the sweetest physical pleasure in this world. Then for them, meaning for them, for somebody who runs after Ruchnius, the sweetest physical pleasures in this world, they're not interested in that. They have no interest in such a thing. It's like nothing in front of them. Me'atanug al yon, because they're living in the enjoy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And who would ever give that up when you really feel that? Nobody would give that up. Not even for the greatest physical pleasure in this world. Ach nefesh re'eva. But says in Mishle, a soul that's hungry. A soul, meaning somebody who starved their soul. Misha'af pa'am lo zakha l'ta'anuga elyon. A person who's never enjoyed the joy and the sweetness on high. Shel az yinegel Hashem. Re'eva otiot rabai. They're starving. But what is starving? He says, what's hungry? What's starving? Re'eva. But re'eva, he says, is a conjunction of two words. Ra-ba. Then they're full of ra. Somebody who's starving in ruchnius, then ra is going to come into them. If there's a spiritual hole inside, they're going to fill it with ra. Haynu sheyish bo koach ha-ra, that by them it's a kolmar matok. For them, everything sweet is bitter. Everything and everything bitter is sweet. Gam mar bevchinat motziani mar mimavet. Gam hi matoklo. Gam hu matoklo. Hamatok mar lo v'amar matoklo. Again, everything that's sweet is bitter. Everything that's bitter is sweet. V'zeh amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe. Natei yadcha. Next page. Raise your hand, O Hashemayim. Raise your hand up beyond the heavens. Raise your hand up beyond the heavens. Sheyitalev v'yamshicha me'al Hashemayim. Go and reach beyond the heavens. Ha'arot al yinot, bring down this great heavenly light. V'al yideizeh v'yihi choshech al eretz Mitzrayim. And that in and of itself is what brings darkness to Mitzrayim. La'elu hashikuim b'ta'avot she'en lecha choshek adol avram me'or shel mala. That those people who are, they live their whole lives, Mitzrayim live their whole lives, sunken into physical pleasures. There's no greater darkness than touching the spiritually sublime and realizing you gave up everything for nothing. You gave up everything for absolutely nothing. You gave it up for smoke and mirrors. You gave it up for an optical illusion. You gave it up for nothing. And we finally got to your point, Ayala. We just had to build to it. It took us, the Yivot Shalom needed time to get to you, Ayala. Right? So he says here, Haya or b'moshvotam. But by all of Bnei Yisrael, it was light by them. Meaning, we often understand it as there was a miracle. God made it dark for the Egyptians and light for the Jews. That's not the Indian here. The Nesivos Shalom is taking it so much deeper. HaKadosh Moshe Rabbeinu drew down the light from Shemayim. And it's not that he made it light for the Jews and dark for the Egyptians. That light itself was a reality of darkness for the Egyptians. And that light itself was a reality of light for the Jews who had acclimated themselves through Avodas Hashem, through Dvekut in Hashem, despite Mitzrayim, had acclimated themselves to that light. La'elu sheim regilim bazeh b'chol moshvotehem. To those who had regulated themselves where they lived, they were always looking for this light. Avuram hayazeor, that very darkness was, that light was light for them. That light was darkness for the Egyptians. That light was just light for them. Lorak ha'adara choshech el or gadol umechudash. And just like again by the Egyptians, it was a tangible darkness. It was a spiritual darkness that you felt in a different way. It wasn't just a lack of light. So to lehefech, by the Jews, it wasn't just that it was light for them. They felt the light of Or Elokim. They felt a light of beyond. It's not that they just could see. They felt the Or Elokut. Next paragraph. Omnam, divrei ha-midrash, that being said, all of what we said being true, this idea of there being darkness up on high, how do we understand it? How is there darkness up above? We still have to explain it a little bit more. What's this unique inyan, this unique concept of darkness on high, of darkness by a Kadosh Baruch that's being drawn down? We can understand it based on what the Sfarim say about the Pasuk in Yeshayahu. Yotzer or uvorei choshech. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Yotzer or, he creates light, but uses the Lashon of Yitzira, Yotzer or, he forms light, uvorei choshech, and he creates darkness, a different word for creating. He forms light, but he creates darkness. What's the difference between Yotzer and Bore? Shelech Ora hu mukshe me'od. Darei Bria hi madrega Yotzer va mi'yitzira. According to Kabbalistic terminology, Bria is higher than Yitzira. There's Asiya, which is the physical, tangible reality that we experience. That's Asiya. One step above it is Yitzira, that's where things already have form. And higher than that is Bria. That's the source of the creation itself. It's created in Bria, it takes form in Yitzira, it comes out fully in Asiya. So Bria, where something is created, its source of creation, that's higher up than Yitzira, where things take form. So it's a question based on, again, this Kabbalistic terminology, but he's asking, why does it say Yotzer, or that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forms light on a lower level, uvorei choshech, and creates darkness on a higher level? Why does he make that distinction? What's happening there? Umadu ne'emra yitzira be'or. Why does the yitzira ba'or of riyav choshech? Va'bichina bazeh, di'yish choshech shu be'etzem or gadol. Because again, it's like we said, there's this reality of darkness, where that darkness in its emes, in its essence, is really light. Ela sha'or kol gadol. It's a light that's so bright that it blinds a person that they can't see anything. That's the darkness that's being talked about here. It's not an actual darkness. It's a subjective darkness to us. It's a light that's so bright that subjectively to us, we only see it as darkness. Kimo be'et shadam abit bashemesh. Like a person, don't try this at home, like a person who stares at the sun, and when you take your eyes away from the sun, all you see is darkness. When you look at the source of light, it seems like darkness. So too in the upper realms, that there's this tremendous light, that's a super high, this tremendous light, that if you were to look at it, you wouldn't see anything, because it's such a bright light, you see darkness. Ukinyan shamru chazal, as chazal say, la'atid lavo HaKadosh Baruch Hu motzi chama min artika o makdir, that in the future, in Olam Haba, what's going to happen? It says, whatever this means, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take the sun out of its sheath. That really the sun that we see now, that sun is really somehow being covered up. We're not seeing the full extent of the sun. And he's going to take the sun out of its sheath, and we're going to see it in its full radiance. And when that happens, says the Gemara, Rishaim nidonimba, the Rishaim are going to be judged with that light. V'tzadikim mitrapimba, and the tzadikim are going to be healed through the same light. Hayinu she'HaKadosh Baruch Hu yorid or gadol ma'od. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Olam HaBa, like we've been talking about this whole time, in Olam HaBa he's going to bring down this tremendous light. Sha'avur HaTzadikim ze'or, that for the tzadikim, it's going to be light. For the tzadikim, it's going to be light. Umitrapimbo, and they're going to be healed from it. Vilu avur harishayim, but by the rishayim, she'inam nu'im lazeh, who aren't, this is not, they're not proper for it, they didn't spend their life getting used to it, lazeh yechoshek, it's going to be darkness for them. Vizeh pirush yotzir or vechoshek, and that's the meaning of the pasuk. We say it every morning in davening. Yotzir or uvorei choshech. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is yotzir or, but vorei choshech. The choshech is higher. Why is the choshech higher? Because it's a choshech that's the deepest light there is. That's what he's talking about. Shekadosh Baruch Hu yotzir or. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu forms light. Ulemala mizeh. Above this, hu borei choshech. Above this, he creates a light that's so bright, it seems like darkness. Or gadol v'nora, a light that's so awesome. Top of the next column. Shelerov gdulato hu choshech, that because of its greatness, it seems like darkness. V'zeh be'or divrei midrash, and this explains the midrash that we started with. Meheichan haya choshech ahu mechoshech shalmala. What was this light? Where did this light come from? And the Medrash says it was a choshech shalmala, a darkness from up above. Shneemar yashit choshech sitro sivotav sukato, and that it's this darkness that envelops HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yashit choshech sitro ein pirusho shish lamala choshech. It doesn't mean that there's really darkness up above. There's no darkness by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ela shesitaro ha'or gadol v'nora. That it really, it's just this brilliant light. Ad sha'avor elu she'inam ru'uyim lo, that for people who aren't zochet to it. Hu choshech. V'zeh amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe. Nitei yadcha ala shamayim. Extend your hand above the heavens. Sheyamshich al Mitzrayim et ha'or ha'gadol hazeh. To bring down this light. B'chinat choshech shalmala. This aspect of quote-unquote darkness from up above. V'al yidei zeh v'ayi choshech al Eretz Mitzrayim. That it created a darkness in Mitzrayim. Ki l'rishayim she'inam ne'uyim lo. For the Rishayim where it wasn't proper for them. Harei zeh choshech she'ino dumato. It was a darkness like they never experienced. They mamish couldn't move. They were so stunned by it. It was so overpowering, this light. It blinded them. It blinded them spiritually. It blinded their souls that they mamish couldn't even move. They stopped in their tracks. For 3 days, they mamish couldn't even move. Ulechol b'nei Yisrael haya or b'mosh votam. But for Klal Yisrael it was light. Shebnei Yisrael nehenu meha'or hazeh. Bnei Yisrael enjoyed this light. Ve'oto choshech leMitzrayim haya or leYisrael. And the same light that was darkness for Mitzrayim was light for Klal Yisrael. Ve'al derech zeh hi bechol hamakot. And this is true by all of the Aseret HaMakot. By all of the 10 plagues. As we literally quoted this pasuk a few hours ago in Seder Vav. Nagof leMitzrayim v'rapeh leYisrael. It hurt the Mitzrayim, but it healed Klal Yisrael. It hurt the Mitzrayim, but the same Makkah itself, it healed Klal Yisrael. Shelo ayu bechol Makkah shneinim nifradim. That it wasn't that each Makkah had two aspects. It wasn't that each of the plagues had two aspects to them. That God miraculously brought light to one place and darkness to the other place. No. Briyam yuchedet shel Makkah leMitzrayim ufeulah nifredet shel Klal Yisrael. Ela be'etzem haMakkah yushnei haMakot. The chiddush of the Makkot was the Makkah itself, the one Makkah itself, the one plague itself, was simultaneously a plague for the Mitzrayim and healing for the Jews. That was part of the miraculous nature of the plague itself. Al derech shinparer makot choshech, like we talked about with choshech, shepnimiyut ha-choshech shalmala hi or gadol, that the essence of the darkness on high is that it's really light. U'lechol b'nei Yisrael hayu or moshvotam b'choshech gufo hayal Mitzrayim. Last paragraph, and then we'll tie it together and bring it down. Maran Hagona Tzadik Rav Moshe Minder Zatzal. Rav Moshe Minder said, Ala Pasuk, Ulechol b'nei Yisrael haya or b'moshevotam. That for all of b'nei Yisrael, there was light wherever they lived. Sheyesh madrega kazo shel or shehayachid eino yachol liskot.
There's a certain type of light that an individual can't be zochet to. Rak b'moshevotam. Only in your dwelling place.
Kasher Yehudim yoshvim yachdav. Zochim lehamshich et ha'or hazeh.
Only when Jews sit together can we bring down this light.
That's Jews coming together in Beit Knesset. It's Jews coming together in seminary. It's Jews coming together in the Beis Medrash. It's Jews coming together in Yeshiva. It's Jews coming together in Shul. It's Jews coming together on Shabbos Kodesh. So he's saying here, it's Jews coming together on Shabbos Kodesh to eat, to have Shabbos together.
L'mshicha to'or gadol yidei Moshe v'otam. I bring it together dafka where we live.
Again, the bottom line of what he's saying here is, and to really internalize it, the physical world seems very enticing. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu designs it that way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu intentionally designs it that way. That this world to our bodies seems sweet. That this world to our bodies seems enticing. That this world to our bodies seems like it's worthwhile. Every little bit of hana'ah, of physical pleasure that we get in this world, in a way that we're not supposed to, in a way that's not dedicated to Kedusha L'Shem Shamayim, it's mamish just dragging us down. It's enveloping ourselves in darkness. And if previously, before this stage of life, you were fully immersed in running after physicality in so many places, that's just the reality of teenage life, Bizman Hazeh, I mean, as it always was. But even in certain areas in Jewish communities, that's the nature of the world. Baruch Hashem, you all came to learn in Eretz Yisrael and to get closer to the Torah. If that's what was beforehand, or you see people who are running after it. Whether you've been there, you've had a friend who's there, or you've seen people who are there. They're people who always look like they're having fun. There's always a smile on their face. They're always laughing. They always seem like they're having a great time. They're running, and who wouldn't be? They're enjoying every pleasure of this world. If you've ever, lo aleinu, been that person, and if you have, okay, I mean, it's not a bad thing, I'm just saying it because of what I'm about to say, lo aleinu, you've been that person. Or if ever, lo aleinu, you've known such a person, if you've ever been with them in a quiet moment, where there isn't any stimulus hitting them and giving them bodily pleasure and physical joy, if you've ever been with them in those quiet moments, then I want you to dig deep. Think back to those people who you've met. And when you've seen them, not when they're laughing with the boy, or laughing with the girl, or laughing at the theme park, or laughing, or seeming like they're enjoying life at a party on high on some drug or whatever it is. Meaning, with whatever physical thing they're running after. When you get them in a quiet moment, tell me, look me in the face and tell me you didn't see the deepest sadness you ever saw. Think about that for a second. And it's hard. It's hard. It's hard to see people laughing, enjoying life like that, and saying to yourself, maybe I really want that because it looks enticing. But what they're tasting is bitter and thinking it's sweet. And deep down they know that because when they go back home and they're by themselves, they feel empty. It's not a judgment. It's a statement of reality. I'm not judging people who are like that. In Bezrat Hashem, those people should be brought closer to Torah and closer to Ruchnius. But to remember that. Remember that when you see that. Remember that after Shana Aleph, when you go back home and Corona's over, people are going out and you're in college. I don't care whether you're in Jewish college or you're not in Jewish college. It happens everywhere. People find ways to party, not to worry. No matter what college you're in, no matter what stage of life you're in. And you see people going out and they're having fun and they're enjoying this world and you're saying to yourself, why would I not do that? Why would I not want to do that? Why is Jesus not letting me do that? To remind yourself, think of them afterwards. Think of them the next day. Think of them at the end of the night when they're back home by themselves. Think of that emptiness and that darkness. Think of that bitterness. Think of that bitterness. Because it's not real. It's just not real. It's fun. It's fake, but it's not joy. It's not happiness. A beautiful way that Dr. Pelkovitz framed it. I heard it from, I don't know if somebody else said it, but I heard it from Dr. Pelkovitz. Incredible, incredible psychologist, steeped in Torah. Listen to everything of his you can get his hands on. Anytime he speaks, go to hear him speak. He said, you know the difference between fun and true simcha? He said, you know the difference between fun and true simcha is?
When you're just having fun, you're just having a good time, but it's not wholesome, it's just fun. He says you wake up the next morning and you feel down. You truly experience simcha, you wake up the next morning and you still feel it. This life looks very enticing. In every stage, when we're, so I have a brother in a different yeshiva. I say it doesn't matter what it is. I have a brother in a different yeshiva. And some of the guys were saying to him, and I say this to him, I'm floored. I'm so impressed by my brother this year. He's flying in a way that's just so impressive. And he said to me that some people said to him, you know, you want to go get the vaccine as quickly as possible. And they said, why? I said, because then you can go out. And they were like, and we heard that in Tel Aviv, they're getting ready to open up a club that anybody who's been vaccinated can now go to the club because you have to worry about Corona. And because he's living in yeshiva and he's actually taking advantage of his year, like so many of you are, but I'm not quoting anybody here. He said this to me. I was floored. I'm learning from my brother in Sichon Aleph. He said, he turned to me, he said, and not to me, he was like, why would I want to do that? I'm in Beis Medrash all day. Why would I want to go to Tel Aviv to go to a bar who would want to do that? I mean, that's where we're supposed to get to. That's somebody, a real person in Sichon Aleph, who's seeing the light of Torah. So many of you, I'm sure, inside you know if you're seeing the light of Torah. So many of you know if you're not yet seeing the light of Torah. To be able to dig deep and realize it's right in front of you. All you have to do is pick it up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're in seminary. You're in yeshiva. You're sitting in front of Torah. All you have to do is go to shir. Open up your minds. Open up your hearts. Open up a sefer. Open up a tehillim. Just get into things. Sit. Go to sichas musar. Go to the vadim from Shana Bet. Now go to the vadim of your fellow Shana Aleph. Go to the extra sikhot of the rabbeim and the teachers. Just get into it. You'll experience a light that's real in a way that when you look back at those things, you'll see, no, it's just darkness. Who wants darkness? Why do I want to bring darkness back into my life? Why would I ever want to bring darkness back into my life? That's the inyan here. That's what we can accomplish over Shana Aleph. That's what we can accomplish if we're after Shana Aleph, by committing to being in the Beis Medrash, by committing to learning on the train on the way to work, by committing to learn on the bus on the way to work, by committing to have a Seder at night, by committing to learn a Sefer, by committing to davening Mincha, a real Mincha, not a 3-second Mincha. By, you have a half an hour lunch break, you give 15 minutes to a real Mincha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu during your half an hour lunch break. People in the world doing this. By committing to Olam Haba, by committing to Olam Hazeh in Olam Hazeh. Why not run after food? Why run after arayos? Why run after? There's so many things to run after. Because we see the real light. Bezrat Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless us that in this time in our life, if we're still in Shana Aleph, to feel that light, to see that light, to bring it into our lives. And when we go past it, if we're already past or when we're past Shana Aleph, to hold on to that light, to look at a world of darkness and say, no, I know it's darkness. All I want is light now. So that when the veil gets lifted and I move to Olam Haba, I'm just seeing the same light that I saw my whole life. Be'ezrat Hashem by all of us.